And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sisters stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, that's the beginning of that. There's a text in Hebrews chapter 12, though. Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll turn there, Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, Moses is talked about and his faith and just what happened in Egypt. We start with verse number 23. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Now that's important right there. Because Moses refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, a son of the world, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So let's pray. Father, Lord, help us as we look through these texts here. And help us understand them better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Moses is grown here. And we're not going to get into his birth and his childhood and how he was raised. I'm going to cover that in a sermon that I'm going to preach called The True Feminine Spirit. Because there's some amazing lessons in that first half about the true spirit of feminism, biblical feminism. But we'll talk about that in another sermon that I'll preach. But here, Moses is grown and he's in the Egyptian house. So he's been raised up in this Egyptian house. He's learned how to be a prince. He's learned how to be a ruler. He's learned how to rule over men. He's learned a lot of the finer things of being a ruler in Egypt and being in the house of Pharaoh. You have to imagine, he learned the court. He learned the structure. He learned how to deal with things. So people wonder sometimes, how did Moses do all the things? Well, God equipped him to lead way back in Egypt. Way back when he was in Pharaoh's house, God equipped him to lead. Okay? So that's what he did. So Moses, he went to search out for his brethren. You couldn't take the Hebrew out of Moses. He was still a Hebrew, no matter if he was in Pharaoh's house or not. There was still a longing in his heart to know his brethren, those that were there in Egypt, those that were suffering in Egypt. He had a longing, even though he's a prince, probably in the line of the throne somewhere even. He was adopted into Pharaoh's family. And he was able, to look at that, he would have been able to stay in Pharaoh's house. But the Bible says that he didn't, and we'll get to that, why he didn't stay in Pharaoh's house. He forsook Egypt. He forsook the world for the sufferings of Christ, the Bible says. He was willing to forsake the world. He was willing, and we'll talk about that kind of a little bit. But he knew his heritage, and he looked on their burdens. So he knew where his people came from. He knew that he wasn't an Egyptian. He knew that he had a people out there that were suffering, and he could see that. And God used Pharaoh's own house to raise Moses up to deliver him. It's not that much different than when we find Joseph, how Joseph comes into the land, right? And Joseph, he brings him into the land, and God uses Pharaoh's house, right? He uses his house to train him and to teach him. So Moses is training in Pharaoh's house, right? And he is learning all these things, just like Joseph was in the court, right? And all those other things. And God used that. And eventually he would raise up one out of a different Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. He would raise up Moses out of that court. And Moses would end up leading those children of Israel out of there, which is interesting. But we find the rest of the understanding of that whole time period. That's why the New Testament and the Old Testament are so important to read together, to understand them together. Why? Because we read about in Exodus, we read about the Old Testament, right? And we see the story of Moses, but we don't get the finer details until we get to Hebrews. It's almost like when Joseph, we don't find out when Joseph was in prison, we don't find out what pain Joseph went through by the Old Testament. Where do we find it? In Stephen's sermon in the book of Acts. Stephen says that they put Joseph's feet, they hurt his feet in the stocks. Meaning they put him in the stocks, they put him in those bonds, and they hurt him by putting him in there. He was a prisoner. So that's why it's important to go back and forth the New Testament, because there's more revealed in the New Testament about what happened in the Old Testament. All right, Hebrews 11:24. The Bible says that basically he set an ease in Egypt, but it didn't set well with him. You see, Moses was at ease, but not in his heart. His life was at ease. Everything was easy and simple for him. He was in the court. He would have grew up royalty. He would have died royalty in Egypt, adopted into Pharaoh's family, right? But his heart wasn't at ease. Hebrews 11:24, it says here, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I think about that for a minute, because we are all in the world, we are all a son of this world. We are born into this world sinners, and we are born into this world as sons of this world. And Pharaoh is a picture of the Antichrist. And Egypt is a picture of the world. And we are born into this world. We are born sinners, and we are born into this world, lost and dead in trespasses and sins, right? Well, Moses, he refused to be called after the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused it. He didn't want it. He was called out like Christians. He was called out of Egypt, like the Bible says, out of Egypt have I called my son, right? Christ was never of the world, but he was in it. It was all by faith, though. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called. So when he came to his years, when he was a man, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't want that lineage. He refused it. And you and I have to refuse the world's pull. The world is always, you as young men and young women, God knows this, that the world is always going to try to pull you in. You're going to come to an age. You're going to come to your years. One day, you're going to come to those years to where it's your decision to make. It's not guided. It's not so much structured like mom and dad does with church and with home, with everybody else. You children one day are going to be adults, and you're going to have to choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. If the Lord be God, then follow him. If Baal, then follow him. Because no man can serve two masters. There's going to come a time, but this world is going to want to pull you into it. It's going to want to pull you away from this book. The entire focus of this world, the God of this world, is to pull you away from this Bible. It's to suck you away and take you away from it and offer you everything else like Moses was offered. You can be a son of a king. You can be a prince in Egypt, and you can live forever a life of live as long as you're alive on this earth, a life of luxury, and die and go to a devil's hell. That was his choice. But he refused it. Every man has to make that choice. Every woman has to make that choice. It wasn't Moses' mother's choice. It wasn't his Egyptian mother's choice. But it was between him and his God. And there are only two choices in this life. You either choose Antichrist or Christ. You either choose the world, you choose Egypt and Pharaoh, or you choose Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Yeah. There's only two choices. There is either Christ or there is Antichrist. This world system is ran by Antichrist. You either by faith choose the world or you choose Christ. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Moses knew that. He knew that. So the choice comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. By his faith, we can choose the Lord. We can choose God's way. Your choice is the same as Moses's. In verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So you either choose being afflicted with the people of God. What does that mean? That means they're going to slander you, they're going to lie about you, they're going to cheat you, they're going to hate you. Marvel not if the world hates you. That's what the Bible says. The world is going to hate you if you choose Christ. For it hated me before it hated you, Jesus said. This world system is ran by Antichrist. This book stands for everything against this world system. And this world stands for everything that is Antichrist. It holds dear the things that God hates. And it hates the things that God holds dear. That's the way this world works. That's the way that it is. Choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God, right? Moses chose that. He chose to suffer the afflictions. And you know what? All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All of them will. You will not escape persecution in this life. If you stand up for Christ, there will be some sort of persecution. You may not lose your head, but you might lose your job. You may not lose your life, but you might lose a loan. You may lose a job. You may lose an opportunity. And you may lose your reputation before men. And that's the truth. That's the way it works. To suffer afflictions with the people of God. This Christian life is a life of affliction. But the end is Christ for eternity, which we'll get to. Life is full of afflictions. But I've never regretted following Christ through all my afflictions, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God. The alternate is to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Notice what Moses said. He said here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Right? That's it. It's only for a season, and this life shall pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Life is full of afflictions. You suffer reproaches. We're going to talk about that. If you join Pharaoh, if you're Pharaoh's son or the Antichrist, if you follow him, you'll enjoy for a season until you die and go to hell and meet your Maker. We all deserve to go to hell as Pharaoh's sons. But the grace of Christ brings us out of sin and delivers into the grace of the kingdom of God. Hebrews 11:26. Why did Moses make that decision? It says here, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. He esteemed it. What does that mean? He esteemed it greater. Think about that for a second. What that means. Esteeming. It means to esteem. It means to value. It means to prize, to deem, to estimate the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Understand, he was wealthy in Egypt. He was a wealthy prince. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a wealthy prince in Egypt. He did not have to walk away from that. But he chose by faith, he chose to walk away from that. He esteemed eternity greater than anything in this world had to offer. All the fame, all the fortune, all the money, everything else in this world. Even the throne, possibly. There are some people that believe that he would have been heir to the throne. That Moses would have ruled in Egypt, possibly. Because he was a great... Moses was actually a great leader. You have to be a great leader by God's grace to be able to lead two million belly-aching Baptists across the wilderness. It is a move of God.
Yep.
Leading 20 like that is a big enough challenge. leading a family of 10 across the state is a big enough challenge.
Yep.
Right? But Moses, right? He esteemed it. He esteemed it. It says he esteemed the reproaches of Christ. What does that mean? He looked at that and he said, the worth of Christ is so much better. Girls, listen. The worth of Christ is so much better.
Amen. Come on.
Than the riches of Egypt. That means all the money, everything that you could ever want, right? Everything that you could ever want. He esteemed it far better, the reproaches of Christ. What does that mean? The reproaches, the shame, the infamy, the disgrace for Christ's sake. He counted the shame of following the Lord and having all men cast your name out. Right? Woe be to you if all men speak well of you. Because they never will when you preach this book. They will never speak. Right. All men will never speak well of you. Some men will speak well of you. But all men will never speak well of you. Shame, infamy, disgrace for Christ. He esteemed it more valuable. So take the most money you can ever add in this life. Let's say you were Bill Gates or you were Jeff Bezos, the guy that owns Amazon, right? Say you were them. Just say you were them. And you had hundreds of billions of dollars. Moses said he walked away from all of that because he esteemed the reproaches of Christ. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. All the gold in Egypt, all the monuments, all the silver, all the prestige, anything. What does that remind you of? Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, what happened to Jesus? Let's turn there. Well, look at that. Because Moses is a type of Christ. Yeah. He's a picture of Christ, albeit not perfect, like no type is perfect. Right? In verse number 3, it says, in verse number 2, it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, and here it is right here. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Moses only forsook Egypt. All the kingdoms of the world were offered to Christ. And the glory of them. What does that mean? All the fame to rule the world, all the prestige, all the power, all the money, all the women, all the everything. Anything, riches untold on this earth. All of it. Satan promised him. Right? All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
See, Moses esteemed the reproaches of Christ of far greater value. Right? Of far greater value. He esteemed them. He deemed them. He estimated them. Right? Far better. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. There wasn't enough money, Moses said, to get him to sell out to Satan. To get him to sell out to Pharaoh and his Antichrist kingdom. Now you have to ask yourself one thing. Is there a price that you'd be willing to sell Christ out for? Is there a price that is far too great for you to pay to not follow the Lord and to follow this world.
I'll go back to what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and God? Well,
that's right, and lose his own soul. What did it profit, my brethren, though a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's a scary thing to think about, isn't it? The temptations that can be thrown at you and the things that can come your way to sell out the Lord and to walk away. But Moses, he esteemed it far better. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward, the future heavenly reward. Heaven with Christ forever is worth far more than the riches in this world. Christ, right? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Right? The riches of Christ are far better. If the reproaches of Christ are far better, how great are the riches of Christ? Right? The riches untold. How great are the riches untold if the reproaches are enough? Right? That's he had. Now, what does it say here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 27? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Oh, wait, let's back up. For he had, in verse number 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Right? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. It says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The future, he held his heavenly reward, heaven with Christ forever, to be far greater than anything this world had to offer. Far greater. Christ is the reward to be there and to be heir with him for all of eternity. That supernatural changed life that he had. He was made new. It says by faith he forsook Egypt, the world, not fearing the wrath of the king. See, Moses had to look into the eyes of the beast, basically, the Antichrist system. Pharaoh was the god of the world. And Pharaoh ruled the whole known world at the time. He ruled it. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And we must never fear the wrath of this world's leaders or its kings or its governors, but to do the will of God. Man. As a type of Christ, Jesus said this, you could have no power at all unless it was given from above. So Jesus said to Pilate, he said it to those rulers, he said, you could have no power except my Father give it thee. Moses, he faced down the beast, right? But it says here that by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He feared God more than the wrath of the king. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Whoso trusteth in the Lord. Right? The Bible says that we're to trust in the Lord, not to fear man, but to trust in the Lord. Look what it says here. For he, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. This is going to get interesting here. So it says here that he endured, right? Moses endured. Right? The Bible says he endured. The Bible says to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That we will endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We'll endure afflictions. He that endureth unto the end. God's people are given endurance. Breathed into them life. God gives breath to those that run the race. The ones that he's called. The ones that he's saved. Right? We don't believe in a gospel that doesn't keep someone, that they don't continue in the faith, but they say they believe one moment and then they walk away from everything and never serve God again, they're once prayed, always saved, right? That's not what the Bible says. I believe in once saved, always saved. Amen. I believe that, but I believe God breathes into them. No matter how many failures they have, no matter how many times they mess up, a righteous man falleth seven times, right? And riseth again. Right? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Right? He delighteth in his way, right? How's that verse go? The steps of a good man are ordered in the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, right? That's what the Bible says, right? So they're ordered by God. God knows his steps. The Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Moses endured that hardness, and God's people are given endurance breathed into them. What does the Bible say, though? How did he do that? How did Moses do that? Then we're going to get some interesting verses here. And then we'll be almost finished here. But think about this here. Watch this, because this is how he did it. I think this is fascinating when you study this. It just reminded me of something else. The same thing that God said in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to go to that right next because it's right here. But listen to this. It says here, are you ready? It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Right? Let's read that again. As seeing him who is invisible. So he wasn't afraid of the king that was before his eyes. Why? Because he saw him who is invisible. Wait a minute. How did he see him who is invisible? I'll tell you how. Verse 12:1 tells you how. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's how you look unto Jesus. I'm preaching now. I'm getting loud. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Look what it says here. Who was set before him. Endured the cross, despising the shame. How do we endure it? By looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we look forward unto Christ. We run the race. How did Moses do it? He looked unto him that was invisible. Now, who is that? Let's look at that. Colossians 1:15. Let's go there. I'll show you who that is. Hope you're paying attention. And I am. I'm getting excited.
Come on.
Here we go, Colossians. The hotel room series sermons.
Good.
Amen. All right, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Amen. Colossians, look at this, 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is that?
Christ.
That's right, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Right? Okay. For in him we live and move and have our being, the Bible says. All right, now Colossians. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 17. Look at this. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, what is that next one?
Invisible.
Wow. The only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Right? So he is the invisible God. And the only way you see the invisible God is how?
Through Christ.
Because Christ is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. How do I know God better? I know Christ better. He is God. But he is God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on to the world, received up into glory. Right? This is that invisible God. This is the mystery. The mystery, the Bible says. Right? This is the mystery that the Bible talks about. Okay. So, first of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So this is Christ, right? The image of the invisible God. Now unto him, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. Now go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, Hebrews 12 talks about endurance. How do I endure? You look unto Jesus. That's how you endure. How do I endure afflictions as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? I look unto Jesus. How do I deal with those things? I look unto Jesus. How did Moses do that? What does it say he did here? It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It says, but what is it? How do we know who he's talking about? When we go back up, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Moses looked unto Jesus. He looked unto Christ. He looked forward. How do we get endurance? We continue to run and we look forward. We don't look back. We look forward. We keep running the race forward. How did Moses do that? What did Moses not do? What didn't he look back at?
Egypt.
Egypt. He didn't look back at the Egyptian court and want to be there. No, he said, my life is forward. My life is done. I'm not Pharaoh's son. I'm not the daughter of Pharaoh's son. Or the Pharaoh's daughter's son. I'm not that man. Right? By the way, I think it's interesting that if you look at the end of Moses' life, before they're entering the promised land, which we know that Moses did not get to, what did they say? And they made him king in Jeshurun on that day. That was Moses. So, what's my point? He traded being a prince of Egypt for a king in Israel. Now, what does the Bible says that Christ makes us unto our God? Priests and kings. You see that? That's what God did. That's what God did for Moses. The Bible says he endured. God's people are given endurance as well. We don't get strength by constantly looking at the eyes of the beast or constantly looking at the troubles of the world. Yeah. We're to be aware of it. We're to be wise to it. We're to know it, right? But we are not to be taken by it. We shouldn't be in a trance for what's going on in this world to just grip us, our hearts with fear and make us be afraid. No, because the Bible says you look unto Jesus. Moses did the same thing. What did he do? He looked unto Jesus for strength. That's what we all have to do. That's what Moses had to do. He had to look unto Jesus, and that's what he did, and he was given strength because of it. All right, let's pray.